Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Swati.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, Shamet. Hi, Jordan.
Hello.
It's good to see you guys. It's so nice.
Hi.
It's in a row. Hi, Rose. Hi, Jackie. I love seeing people on video. I don't love being on video, but I love seeing people on video. Let's wait one more minute, see who else wants to come in. I'm expecting it to be an intimate group today, which is going to be to our benefit because I want to be hearing from each of you a lot throughout our time together today. Oh, there you are, Jordan. I see you in real life. Hi, Alana. All right. Well, wait just one more minute. Hopefully we won't have tech issues today like we did yesterday. I really feel like it's my resistance that comes out in the technology. My resistance to technology comes out in the technology. Hi, Penny.
Do you feel now like you're starting to acclimate, or does it still feel like torturous to you?
All right. Do I feel what?
I said, do you feel like you're starting to acclimate, or does it still feel totally weird to you to be on Zoom? I'm like so used to you just being a voice. It's very, like it's having a strange experience. Like yesterday was weird for me. I was like, oh, this is not how I'm used to receiving Joanna. It's like I'm used to receiving you through the voice. So it's very different.
Yeah. It is on Zoom, so I'm not, it's not totally new. But it definitely feels weird. It's a weird, I think one of the reasons why I've resisted it, and I think the more I do it will get better. And again, I'm sharing this for you guys in case it helps as practitioners, is like when I'm looking at a screen, there's a little bit of a disconnect between what's going on in my mind versus like what wants to come out versus when I'm not looking at a screen. If I'm in a room with people, a group, or one-on-one, or when I'm on the phone, it seems like there's more of a quicker connection between what my mind is telling me and what's coming out. Anyway, hi, Autumn. Hi, Ruth. Okay, let's get started, see who else wants to come in. I'm so happy to be here with all of you again, twice in 1 week. Yay! And I used to, this call for many cycles of Sacred Depths didn't exist, but I added this call in the last cycle of Sacred Depths because what I was noticing is that there are a number of people, and this is so normal, and we'll get to this in a moment, but you know, especially if you're newer, but even if you're not newer, where it can feel like fear in terms of moving forward, fear in terms of, am I ready to start taking on clients, or am I ready to go, I've been working with clients, but am I ready to start using these strategies? You know, maybe fear around being visible with some of the depth, fear in being visible with some of the outreach. When we get to our Befriend Your Fear module, we'll take a look at all of this in depth and a little bit in a somatic way, excuse me, and I'll be teaching techniques around it. But the call for today, or our session for today, is really to actually, number one, just to be present to those fears and concerns and the like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And I don't, you know, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Just to begin to really express, talk about it, for me to support you in all of it with any concerns or anxieties around moving forward, around taking on clients, around taking on different kinds of clients than you've been working with, maybe raising your rates, you know, whatever it is. The purpose of our time together today is also to, as part of that, to help you feel confident. That's what I want, you know, and it's not that you're going to walk out of 2 hours today with full confidence. We're going to work on it throughout the program. But my intention for our time together today is for you to walk away with more confidence, for you to walk away with more clarity, as well as owning what you bring to the table, your brilliance. We're not going to go through exercises of identifying your brilliance or anything like that, but for you to really see that whatever practitioner that you want to be, you have it in you. It is there, it is waiting, and it is waiting for you to like say yes. And you have said yes, and then there's more yes, right? We'll probably have time today for me to do a demo coaching session, not a full, I usually do 45 minute sessions with clients. I won't coach for a full 45 minutes, but I think it's helpful for you to observe me coach. You know, we'll do like a mini session. One of you will hopefully volunteer for about 20 minutes, and then we'll take time to break down all of the skills that I used. And also, so you can see the flow and the cadence. I think that will help all of you, and especially those of you that are newer. And then also, if we have time, we'll talk about some actual action steps you can take, you know, in our Sacred Depths calls. You're learning techniques and strategies, and you're doing inner work. But for those of you that actually want some outer steps towards, you know, in your business, whatever that is for you, the next steps, hopefully today's call will get you excited about it, and we can create a little structure and accountability around it. So those are my intentions for our time together today. It's going to be, my intention is also for this to be really interactive, even more so than usual. Like I said earlier, I really want to hear each of your voices. I want to invite you to share and be vulnerable. More that we can hear each other's voices, our concerns, our anxieties, our wisdom, the more it's to express it, number one, in a container is just so valuable. You know, that's part of the work, right? The healing work, the transformational work. And then when we hear our sisters in this circle express, we can learn so much from them. So I really just want to invite you to be in your full expression, and there is enough time and space for each of you. So all that being said, where I want to start is here, is that if for whatever reason you are either a little bit or a lot feeling not good enough in one way or another as a practitioner, if you are feeling like you are not expert enough in one way or another as a practitioner, if you are feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing, what have I gotten myself into, I don't have the ability to go deep, or what if people aren't gonna, you know, any of those things, I just want you to know you're in good company. It is totally normal to feel this way, not only when you first begin, but even when you're more experienced. And probably some of you have heard me say this before, and I have no shame at all in admitting that even after all of these years of being a practitioner, and even, you know, training other practitioners and claiming that I'm one of the best trainers out there, I still doubt myself plenty of times. And a big part of that is just human nature, right? Another part of that, and I know that I'm willing to make a bet on this, that you guys are similar to me in this, is part of the questioning ourselves is because we are people and practitioners of integrity who we know it is our mission here to serve. When you know that it is your mission to serve and you are a person of deep integrity and deep caring and really wanting to serve, it is healthy to question yourself to a certain extent, right? Not to get stuck in it or paralyzed in it, but it actually is healthy and productive. I think one of the reasons why I have been able to reach a certain level of mastery in my work is because I do question myself. Now, sometimes I'm a little harder on myself than I wish I would be. This is true. But some of the toughness has actually been to my benefit. I've learned a lot since when I first started around this, and I'll just share with you in case you're having this experience that when I first started as a practitioner, I was terrified and questioning myself all the time and held myself back from visibility because of it. And because of all of the not good enough fears, that first year of working with clients, I didn't show up in my full brilliance. I didn't go to all of the places and the depths that I could have even then because I was scared. So one of my intentions for you is for it not to have to take a year for you like it did for me, but through this conversation for you to start to feel more bold in any of the ways that are going to be appropriate for you. So when we have these fears, like I said, you know, they can stop us from not only putting ourselves out there, working to bring on clients, raising rates, or, you know, whatever it is, but they can also stop us in our in the sessions themselves, right? We don't want any of that to happen. What I'd say is like a healthy place is that you're questioning yourself without driving yourself crazy, but the questioning of yourself doesn't hold you back from showing up. Just nod if that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Good, good, good. So all that being said, if you're here and you're new, you're completely new, you don't have an existing business, the other reason why I want us to look at this is because each person is different. It may be aligned for you to wait until the end of Sacred Depths for you to take on your first clients, but it might not. For some of you, I don't want you to wait till you like have the certification to feel valid enough to do the work that you're ready to do. It may not be this week if you're just starting out that you're ready, but if you feel called, I would like over the next month or two, something like that, or 10 weeks, for you to actually start taking on clients. Now, they don't have to be paid clients necessarily. They can be testimonial clients. We'll talk later more about what that can look like. But I don't want you to hold yourself back. One of my spiritual mentors, so dear to me, would always joke that like I was the one in the group that needed the piece of paper of the certification to feel valid, you know, and she would tease me endlessly about this, right? Like you don't need the certification to do the work. By the time we're done with the foundations, you have the skill, the basic skills you need more so than most practitioners out there who haven't gotten them the way you're getting the skills in Sacred Depths to do really good work. And we're a few weeks away from that. Okay, so all that being said, take a moment and jot down for yourself, for wherever you're at, what are some of your fears and concerns about working with clients, right? And just be honest, right? And, you know, use law of adaptation here. So if you've been working with clients for a long time, you know, if you're transitioning from one modality to another, or, you know, whatever it is, or if you're new, but what are some of your fears and concerns about working with clients, particularly the way we look at this through the Sacred Depths lens, going deep, all of that? Is it that you don't know what a session looks like? Is it that you fear you're not gonna, you know, do a good job, you're gonna make someone angry? You know, what are some of the things for you? You didn't say hi to Anne Margaret. Hi, Anne Margaret. and just be totally honest, right? Don't censor yourself, even if it's like a tiny little concern that you're like, oh, that's so silly. I shouldn't have that concern. Just put it down. Just be honest, really just be with it, really see it, be aware. I've had, you know, in the past, people say, oh, I don't feel ready, Joanna, because I feel like I'm not gonna be able to do it the way that you do it, right? That's another big one. Like, we can't do, we feel like the teacher is on some pedestal and, you know, they've achieved some type of greatness and we can't or need to do it the way that they do, right? Whatever it is, right? So what are some for you? And then take a look at the fears and concerns that you're noting and jot down, how have these fears and concerns been impacting you, both on the inner and outer level? So when I say outer, what I mean is, how have they been impacting maybe your business, right? Or your outreach, or, you know, finally getting clear on your ideal client or raising your rates or whatever it is. Or maybe outer impact is how you follow up with your prospects or don't follow up with prospects, right? So any outer ways it's been impacting, and then inner ways is how does it make you feel? What is the inner energetic impact of these fears and concerns? Take one more moment with that. And then one more question for right now. As you look at the fears and concerns that you identified, well, actually two questions. What's the story that you're making up? If there was a story here that you were making up, what's that story? And then last question for right now, what's one reason that your story may not be true? Almost pretend like you're a lawyer defending the opposite. What's one reason that your story may not actually be true? Okay. So one nice thing about Zoom is that we can do breakout rooms. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break you into partners of two right now. Hopefully this will work. I always kind of take a breath before we do breakout rooms, but you'll be assigned a partner. It may take like 10, 15, 20 seconds for it to happen. I'll also watch to make sure everybody gets in their rooms. And we'll do a little bit of share on what just came through in partners. So I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 minutes total. I'll be able to send messages so you know when time is up. But basically, give about 2 minutes a partner. Or let's do this. Partner number one, you get about 2 minutes to just share. Share what you're seeing. Share what's coming through. And then I'll let you know when the 2 minutes are up. And then take about a minute of feedback and reflection, right? So ask your partner. And if you don't want feedback and reflection, that's also totally fine. But if you'd like some feedback and reflection from your partner, you've got about a minute for that. Partner, use all of your coaching and transformational skills, your listening skills, all of that. Really share and create awareness for your partner. When the first person is going and they're speaking for those 2 minutes, I like to call it sacred witness time, which means that if you're listening, you're the sacred witness and you're not interrupting, you're not, you know, it's really, you're just holding space. This is a great also just exercise or skill that we want as practitioners to be able to hold space, right? And then when it's time for reflection, right? And then we'll switch on to the second partner. And I'll send little notes to let you guys know about time. So I'm gonna break you out right now. Let's see how it goes. Guys, I messed up. I pressed the wrong button. I bumped you out of your room, so I'm going to put you back in now. I'm so sorry.
Will we be back in the same room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going to put you right back. And you can switch to feedback if you haven't yet for the first partner.
All right, looks like everyone is back. Good. And I can see Anne Margaret on video now. Yay, it's great to see you. So what's coming through? Who'd like to share? What are you seeing? What are you starting to see? What's coming up? You can just take yourself off mute.
I'll share. Hi, Joanna. Hi, everyone. Well, one of the questions that we left off with that I'll even like turn onto myself is perhaps a lot of the fears that we have or that I have or what my partner shared with me can actually be a gift to our clients to have that sort of perspective and to know what those experiences feel like internally and the pressures that we feel in outer ways, how that all influences our work can actually be something that creates more relationship and relatability to the people that we work with, and that there could be a gift in that. And I love what you said, Joanna, about like not letting, like knowing that the fear is there and embracing it and working with it, but not letting it stop you. So like finding that sweet spot is the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you're bringing up and what came through around how, you know, and we'll look more at this in Befriend Your Fear, but like how fear is actually not a bad thing, right? We've been trained to think like, because I'm scared of this, the fear must be bad. I need to get rid of the fear. And I feel like in a lot of cases, the transformational and coaching industry really reinforce this belief. But the truth is that it's just not true. We're actually wired to feel fear for many very good reasons. And in just the topic that we're talking about today, one of the very good reasons is that, as you said, it does make us more relatable. And when we can approach our fear with intentionality, it makes us more wise and it helps us to understand our clients more. Beautiful. Thank you. Good. Who else? What are you seeing? What's coming up and through?
I'll just say that I think that that resonated for me too. You know, I shared some things with Jordan about what I was afraid of. And the first thing she said is like, I don't think you have to worry about that. And to me, what that means is like by bringing awareness to it, it's a, you know, it's less likely to be a problem.
Yeah. Awareness is always the first and one of the most important steps in anything, any kind of fear or obstacle or negative thinking, you know, anything that stops us, like when we can be aware and express, right? Be in relationship with it already. It takes it out of our blind spot and takes some of the sting out of it. Good. Who else? What are, and I also would love to hear, like, what are some of the fears that you named?
I can share a couple of the fears. I think one of the things I get concerned about is not being able to truly facilitate deep transformation. And along with that, you know, I have kind of a promise with my coaching services that I will be able to help clients achieve a certain transformation. So I have fears around that. And then also kind of the flow of coaching clients and versus this accomplishment, promise, achievement. So that fears come up for me around those things.
Yeah. And what's the, I think that's really common and I'm really glad that you're bringing it forward. What it through your exploration, what did you see as maybe a higher truth or evidence or wisdom that came through?
I think innately that I know that it takes as long as it takes. And that as long as that you're providing the space, and I even mentioned this to Jeannie, that for people to be seen, heard, and loved, that there's so much goodness and value there that perhaps the guarantee or the promise won't be as prominent as just the container in the space.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all of that. I want to pull out a few things that you're saying and add to this because this is really important for all of us. I have to remind myself of some of this sometimes too, right? So first of all, you guys have heard this before from me and Jordan. Again, you said it so beautifully. Transformation is a process, right? There are very few magic bullets, so magic pills, I don't know, whatever the term is, right? Even though the marketers like to tell us, right, all the things, it is a process and it is meant to be a process. So I don't know that much about weight loss, but I'm going to make a comparison to weight loss. And if anyone here can confirm, tell me if it's true. I think I'm 99% this is true. If you want to lose a lot of weight and you lose it in a week, it's not as healthy as if you lose it over time and you're less likely to keep the weight off. The best kind of growth transformation is about sustainability and is about creating new patterning, new neural pathways, new habits, which don't happen overnight. So one of the pieces in being a true transformational practitioner, a sacred depths practitioner, is to say no to the bullshit out there, excuse my language, that's like you can make this happen overnight. And I am sure you're not doing this, Jordan, at all, but I will just say, like, our marketing promises do matter, and absolutely each one of you should be speaking about transformation, but if you have anything in there about quick transformation, you might want to think twice about that. The other piece that I wanted to bring in, something that you said, Jordan, everything that you said made me think about this. And again, you all know this, but we need these reinforcements. As practitioners, I don't care how magical you are, how brilliant you are, like what kind of powers you possess, you cannot create results for your client. You cannot create results for your client. End of story. I don't care what kind of magic you do. I know your magic is potent, but you can't create the results. You can co-create results with your clients. The co is so important. And this is a piece that holds a lot of practitioners back in fear. Because when we feel like I said on my sales page or this, like this transformation is gonna happen for you. And we feel like we're pulling them through. We're the ones that are getting them there. of course there's gonna be fear that that can't happen, because there's a more deep, wise part of us that knows we can't do it for them. We can provide the space, the container, the being seen and heard. We can also provide the transformational like skills, like right, the container and the techniques and all of that. But our clients need to be very active participants in their own transformation for real transformation to happen. Now that might sound risky, right? Because who knows about other people and clients, but to me that actually gives me a lot of peace, because I know it's a partnership and it's not on me. I may have shared this with you before. I'm sorry if I have. If I have, maybe it just needs to be shared again. One thing that I always like to say is with clients, like, I can tell you about the river. I can tell you the name of the river. I can tell you where the river is. I can even hold your hand and lead you to the river. And also, I'm happy to walk side by side with you across the river. But what I cannot do is put you on my back and carry you across the river. Anything that anyone else wants to say about these pieces that we're talking about right now, the process of transformation and the co-creation with clients? Shamet. Yeah.
Well, I had an amazing story along these lines. I had a client that had come. She had seen lots of therapists, lots of healers, had no help. She's 72 years old. Oh my gosh, she's my first Swedish client, and she's just brilliant. And it's what I told her. I couldn't even believe it was coming out of my mouth, but she said, "No one's ever been able to heal me." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to be able to heal you either, but you could heal yourself and I can be your guide. And if you're 100% committed to the process of healing yourself and your own transformation, then I'm happy to be your guide. But if not, it's probably a waste of your time and my time." And that, I mean, I gave her permission to do her own healing, and it was a powerful session. She hasn't ever
for her and for you.
Oh, for both of us. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She couldn't feel any joy in her body. She was completely cut off from herself. And now she's in her body. She's feeling joy. She's feeling happiness. And just in one session. And I don't think anyone had ever given her permission to feel her own power, feel her own. So yeah, exactly what you're saying just happened in a very powerful way. And, you know, this is what the coaching, what your training has done for me, is because usually I'm doing the healing work, you know, and to actually just, I still do my healing work, but in a different way now, and giving people permission to tap into their own power. Wow. It's amazing. So I wanted to just share that success story.
Yeah, thank you for sharing it. It's so powerful and such a great illustration. And actually, it relates to something that I meant to share yesterday when we were looking at questioning, and I forgot to share it, which is that even I've had a lot of practitioners work with me who, like, their modality is that they're healers or they're intuitives or readers, right? Where there is a lot of sharing or you see a lot of things. Even so, you don't want your work to be straight up intuitive reading. You want to add the questioning piece to it, which is related to what we're talking about here, that empowerment piece on the part of the client, their active participation and engagement, even in a reading, tarot reading, whatever it is.
Yeah, it was huge. It was powerful. But I wanted to share real quick what came up for me. Is that okay?
Well, actually, before you do, I just want to see if there's anything else on this topic, and then I'll come right back to you.
Yeah.
Anything else on this topic around transformation being a process or the co-creation with the client? And you can just take yourself off mute because I can't see everybody on my screen at once. If you want to share, just go for it.
I'll share something. I think some of the trouble for me is around what the process is supposed to look like. I think there's such like deep value in creating awareness and building relationship and connecting with the client. And I think I do that all really well. I think like one of my strengths is that I can mirror and paraphrase and just like let people hear themselves through my words. And there's also another like voice in the back of my head, probably from what I've seen in the coaching world, where it's like people don't buy who you are or want to work with you because of only who you are. They want to work with you because of a solution. They're looking for a solution and they want some change. And I love and I agree that we can't get a person to change and we can't, you know, promise solutions. But sometimes I feel like, and perhaps this is the like my growth area, is that like the skill of the transformational skills, like the questioning process. And sometimes I feel like I need more than just talking and questioning and unpacking with a person. And I've been someone for like, you know, again, part of my superpowers is that I'm a very resourceful person and I have like tools that I've collected for years and years and years, but I don't know when or how to bring them in. Sometimes I feel like I need to create a model or a framework to walk people through because that's easier to articulate to people, and rather than like letting it move organically or intuitively, which is how it's been for me. So that's what I'll share.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that forward, and it relates to this process. So again, first of all, again, it is a process. I'm hearing a couple things. Number one, I'm sure you have a lot of tools in your toolbox, but I think some of the the foundational tools you're already using and can always go deeper, but I think some of the more somatic tools, this isn't a plug for you to continue into the whole program, Gloria, but it is a little bit because we will get to some of the somatic tools and all of that. But all that being said, here's a toss for you. I think it would be worthwhile for you to actually write out what a methodology would be or what a process would be for you, for your being able to go deeper in understanding without needing to stick to it in an orthodox way with a client, because we always want to coach the what based on the who. Methodologies like that are great for group programs. We're going to do step A and then B and then C, right, and take you through this process. But I think my sense is that because you have so many tools in your toolbox, it actually would be really helpful for you, for yourself, to kind of map something out and then experiment with it loosely with clients. The other piece, and tell me I may not be hearing this right, I'm wondering it feels to me like you have these tools in your toolbox, but for some of them, there's a tentativeness or a fear to pull them out, and an easier reliability on the talking and unpacking. That may not be true, but let me know how that lands or what that brings up for you.
Yeah, I think maybe part of it is because that would require, it's like I'm making an assumption about what they need before we get into the call.
Okay.
Because then I would have to prepare all of that, right? Like I would have to bring some material or the strategy or a framework or something to play with.
Is that
room?
That's what I think about when I say tools. That's what I actually mean, like the tangible, like
okay,
career mapping, or like, okay, let's do an activity together or something.
I see. I thought you meant something different by tool.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, two things. Number one, be aware of that belief. Like, I have to have this thing going in.
Mm.
Number two, I want to encourage you before you get on your next couple of sessions to remind yourself that you can co-create what those processes are with the client on the spot based on your deep listening skills. And over the next week, or if you don't get the chance in a session this week, over the next 2 weeks, I actually want you to do that on a session this week.
Okay. And I love the idea of just mapping out like my own process and playing with that. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, good. All right, Shamet, let's go back to you. What came up for you?
Well, I thought it was really interesting because, you know, I'm always saying I help people transform their wounds into wisdom and their wisdom into superpowers. That's like my slogan that I've got on my website and on my logo and everything. And what came up for me was my fear is that my wounds get in the way of running a successful, thriving business. Mm. So, yeah, it was very interesting.
And important.
I know. Huh? Yeah. And it just dropped in. And I was like, oh, ow. Mm. And then my reason, though, about how my story might not be true, and this is something my partner Rose said to me that really landed. She says, when people come in contact with you, they have an experience. And that, I mean, I just cried when she said that because I thought that's quite right. Like, I'm a change agent. I'm meant to shake things up. And like, I'm here to create change. And so, of course, people are going to get triggered and people are going to be, you know, have an experience. And so then I thought, well, everything that's ever happened and everything that does happen is meant to be for a reason. So, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna just feel into that more, but I was just wondering if you had any feedback about that.
Well, first a question, what's the learning opportunity for you here? Bye, Anne Margaret.
Hmm.
What's the learning opportunity for you here?
That I give myself what I give my clients, and what I give my clients, I give myself. That it's interconnected.
Mm. Yeah, take a moment and close your eyes. And just feel into your body, to that interconnected place.
Yeah.
Where are you feeling that?
I'm feeling it in my heart chakra and my second chakra, and I feel it in the sense of my own personal healing journey and transformation is exactly what I'm helping other people with, and that I need to just make peace with that.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Stay with that. Close your eyes one more moment. Really stay with your heart chakra and your second chakra. All that you just shared. And really bring it in. Like, take it into a deeper level. What does your heart want you to know?
That it's okay.
Yeah. Can you feel that? Let yourself really feel that. That it's okay. It's more than okay.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah, good.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So let's continue on with this. So based on everything that's come up so far, take a moment and jot down, what do you know about yourself that makes you, like, that gives you all, everything you need to be an incredible transformational practitioner? What is it that you know about yourself and who you are that just gives you exactly what you need to do the work that you want to do in the world?
Joanna, can you repeat it one more time? I know you said it twice, but I was trying to write it down and I missed it.
Yeah, what is it that you know is true about you? Your qualities, your energy, your wisdom, you know, whatever things about you that really give you everything you need to do the transformational work you want to do in the world. Take one more moment with that. Hey, Kathy. Good to see you. All right, and the next question, whatever you just wrote down, whatever those things are, this is kind of a two-part question. Well, I'll ask each part separately, since I said yesterday in questioning not to stack questions. Number one, how can you bring these qualities through even more in your client work? So whether you're working with clients right now or just your partner in this program, anything that you wrote down, how can you bring it through or allow it to come through more in your client work? And just see what wants to come up there. Might be that it's already coming through a lot, and I'm going to guess that it can come through even more in your client work. And then next question, all the things that you wrote down about what you know is true, how can that come through more in your marketing or your marketing to be if you don't have marketing yet? Because my guess is that if you've got already established marketing, you're only sharing a fraction of your amazingness in it.
All right, let's hear a couple of shares on this. So what's coming through here?
I realized I'm still, am I still unmuted?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'd like to share. I'm loving, I'm kind, I can go deep. My heart is in the right place. I'm honest. I love transformation. I love working with women. And I can offer more support because I haven't actually been sending emails out to people. And just this week I did some Facebook Lives and I'm doing one tomorrow and the next day. And I think I need to do more of that, more supporting the people that I already have. I was thinking that I needed more clients, but I actually don't. I just need to be supporting the ones I have. And that's a huge realization.
That's a great awareness. Yeah, a great awareness. And I want to encourage you, all the things that you just listed, I could tell that you like believe them, but I feel like they like to hear. I want you to practice bringing them in even more deeply, like really own fully each of the pieces that you just mentioned.
Yeah, is it the way I come across?
No, I mean, you can tell me maybe I didn't hear correctly, but my sense is that they could just drop in even more deeper for you.
Yeah, this isn't the first time I've heard this. So I think something about how I'm coming across other people isn't being understood. I don't know. It's interesting. Okay.
Do you feel them deeply?
Does it feel like it's on the surface?
That's how it sounded to me, but if that's not how it feels to you, that's most important. So
I think both are equally important. Thank you for that observation.
How does it feel for you? Like, do you feel that you own each of those pieces?
Yeah, I feel, I know I'm loving, I know I'm kind, I know I go deep, I know I'm honest. Yeah, but I think it's something about how I'm expressing that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to express it differently. Yeah. Okay.
So
interesting. I always get misunderstood. I get misunderstood and people don't sometimes understand who I really am. Let's say that I love Rose. She sees me. But some people don't see me, so it must be something that the way I'm conveying that.
So it might be, but it may not be that deep, right? It could be, right? But it also may not be. But what I would say, like a good journaling question on that is, what could I be conveying more deeply, or how could I be conveying more deeply? Something might come up there, or nothing may come up there, but see.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good. Who else? What's coming up? What's coming through? What are you seeing?
Can I share?
Yeah.
So for me, I've been doing a lot of my own inner work in the past 6 months. I have kind of been really feeling a lot more compassion and love, which I think before was a little struggling in that area, and I'm really wanting to bring that out in my work. And what I wrote for how can you bring these qualities even more? I wrote love everybody, and I realized that is like the true essence of life, but also this work in particular. But what I struggled with was the next question you asked, which was how can this come through in your marketing? And then I was like, oh, I don't know, because then my mind went to, who do I want to coach? What kind of work do I want to do? And I'm like, so anyway, that's kind of where I left off.
Do you have already existing marketing or no?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I would say is those are good next, I think because those questions are coming up, those are good next questions for you. Like I think it's time for you, Swati, to start thinking about who your ideal clients are and how specifically you want to help them.
Yeah, that's what I'm really struggling with. Yeah.
So what's a better word for struggle?
I have an idea of who I would like to help, but I'm not able to kind of really be more specific to have the language around to convey what I can help them with. So a general area is around relationships, right? Specifically romantic partnerships, but it could really be with anyone, any conflict, right? But then I get stuck, like, should I only focus with clients who are dealing with things around their romantic partnerships, or, you know, is it more broader? And that's the piece that I'm like, I'm having a hard time kind of taking what I kind of see in my head and conveying outward.
Yeah, good. So I'm glad this is coming up. I feel like it's coming up because you're ready to get there. All right. So I want to give you an assignment, and I don't want you to apply any myth of perfection to this. Like, be imperfect. You don't have to get it. I want you to make two lists, right? So just kind of bullet points. One is a bullet point is if you were going to focus just on relationships, different types of issues that you would want to help people with. In relationships. Don't worry about the actual wording or if it's markety, you know, any of that, just make that list. And then second list is if you were to broaden this out, what are the types of issues that you would want to help people with? And then share them in the Facebook group. I also know that you'll be in Coaching Mastery Circle, and that's a great question. Once you do that work, to bring to a Q&A call and we can look at it more deeply, but I think this is a good next step for you to get there. Beautiful. Good. We have time for one more share. Jackie.
Yes, please. Hi. Hello. Thanks. So, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. So I've written down, I care, I'm intuitive, and I'm guided. And then I wrote down, this is part of my path. It must be. And then I think what I could do, I felt like showing my caring, not that I'm not caring in my sessions, but bringing back I care energy into my sessions, I think is how I can bring that more out. Yeah. And I also felt, because I do like a pre-session process that I've created for myself, so I think I could add that into it, because I think that would help me bring that energy through. And I'm thinking in terms of my marketing, not that I have much marketing, just my posts and things, that perhaps I need to start saying these words that I'm intuitive and this is what I'm here to do. But actually I'm quite scared to do that because I could feel my stomach churning as I was writing it out. So, yes, I think that's what I need to be doing.
Yes, I agree. And you probably already know this, but it's usually when we come up against some of our most potent personal superpowers that we start to get scared.
Right? Yeah. I think that's
so, yeah. So I think this is a good invitation for you to step in even further. And, you know, my sense, and you can tell me if you agree, is that because of the pieces that are coming up, that you deeply care, that you're intuitive, that this is actually, these two things are pieces of medicine that your ideal client really needs. Like, more so than Joe Schmo off the street, right? We all need care, right? But there's something specific around care, and there's something specific around being held in your intuition and probably access to their own intuition that is particularly important for your ideal client. So if that lands, I'd love for you to think more on that and what some of those connections are. And those would be good ways to start to insert it into the marketing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, because I have been looking at, what is it? It's one of your bonus trainings talks about the medicine, doesn't it? I can't remember what it is. Marketing message.
Yes.
So exactly. That's really helpful, actually. It does connect with what I've been thinking about. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And another piece that might also be helpful is to go through your clients, make a list of your clients. And for each of them. Okay. So with your coaching partner right now, so focus on her and write out in what ways you sense it would be transformational for her to feel more care in your container. And in what ways you sense it would be transformational for her to experience not just your intuition, but her own, a deeper sense of her own intuition as well.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. All right.
What ways would it be transformational for her own intuition?
Yeah. Oftentimes when a practitioner has a superpower of intuition, the superpower isn't only that the practitioner is intuitive, but that they can support their client to connect more deeply to their own intuition. It's a mirror. All right, I do want to move on to do some model coaching, but is there any other like burning shares before we move on?
Share.
I know this conversation can bring up a lot. Sure. Mm-hmm.
I put out this new website, Awakening the Priestess Within, and now I've taken it down because I've gone into my fear around it. And so it's interesting that you just said your most potent fear. When you get up against your most potent superpower, you have the most fear, because I think that's what's just happened. I've put it out and then I was like, oh no, I retract it. And I'm just, I just did that today. So it's really, I'm terrified. Yeah.
Yeah. So what if you allow the fear to be the fear, but don't let it be anything else than that.
Thank you.
Do you feel like making a sacred promise to yourself and also just in this circle around when you'll put the website back up, even if it feels scary?
Yeah, the website's up, or it's kind of partially up. Like I only shared it with you and a few other people, but I called it Awakening the Priestess Within. And now I've taken that and put manifesting your most abundant life, because that's the work I've been doing for 3 years. And so.
Would you be willing to change it back today?
I guess what I'm afraid of is, will I still be marketable? Will people want to buy my services, or is Awakening the Priestess Within just too left field and people won't understand it? But it's where my heart is. It's where my passion is. So it's that kind of like battle with my heart, my passion, and also still wanting to be marketable. So, yeah.
So when it comes to marketing, it is always a combination, of course, heart, right? It is always a combination of that. And also I wonder how that's going to land. So here's, some ideas for you. Number one, you can wait on changing it back and ask two or three of your most favorite clients, get on the phone with them for 10, 15 minutes and ask for how that lands for them, how it makes them feel, what do they understand when they see that, or change it and you can still ask for feedback, but go with your heart. My sense is, even if the words need to be tweaked a little bit, is that the old, I don't remember the exact manifest abundance, whatever it is, that's not you. anymore. I mean, there's parts of that that you're bringing into your work, but I don't think it's your truth. And there may be playing around still with the new words. I'm always playing around with my words based on what I see lands and doesn't. But I'd like for you to go beyond that path.
I want, okay? You know that I ultimately want to, that I'm developing a priestess training in school, but I'm just not quite there yet. So I'm wondering if I'm just being a bit like getting ahead of myself. And so I do really want to, that's what I'm stepping into, but maybe I've just leaped forward a bit too quickly and no.
I'm not coaching right now. I'm consulting. I'm going to say no and go for it.
Can I just say that, energetically, it's so, the energy was so, I'm so sorry. I know this is not my place.
No,
energetically, I don't even remember the second name of the thing you said. I don't actually remember, and neither did Joanna.
Yeah.
Energetically, where your energy is with awakening the priestess within, the energy of that sounds
much
more powerful. So I don't even, the second thing was like, what, manifesting abundance? What? Like, I didn't actually remember it. I'm sorry. I know it's not my job here. I just really felt it.
No, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, the second one was like, wah, wah, wah. Like, you know, when you hear the words, but you don't hear the words. The first had deep energetic resonance.
Okay.
So I'll let you, thank you, Alana, and I'll just let you take that moment for now and sit with it. Okay.
Love you, Joanna. I love all of you. Thank you. Aw.
All right. So this is going to be quick, but I would it be helpful for you guys for me to do like 20 minutes of coaching and for us to break it down? Want to give you what you need? Yeah. Okay, good. So who would like to volunteer? I saw Rose raise your hand.
Yes. Great. Thank you so much.
Of course. So I'm actually, this is where video does not work for me. I'm going to turn my camera off for a little bit so I can pace and really listen deeply. You guys can keep your cameras on, but I'm just going to turn mine off because I think it will be better. Okay. So we only have about 20 minutes. So it'll be a quickie, but hopefully very powerful. Tell us, Rose, what would you like to receive today?
I'm feeling the call to become more visible. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of work on this. And I've been exploring what the layers are. And when I find them, I've been peeling them back and working in my inner work with them. But I found the one, Joanna, and it's filling me with complete, well, everything, all the emotions are there. The grief, the anger, the fear is massive. And it's about making myself visible. When I was raised by a particular community, it's my because the work I do, basically they would classify it as witchcraft in the bad way. Mm-hmm. And I've hit upon it and I can see how deeply that has held me back. And how all of those the judgments, all of that indoctrination about the power of the woman, how this is real, the real territory. It's where I want to make myself visible. I mean, I feel the call for it.
Yeah.
But how am I going to do that? How am I going to live with myself when they see me?
Yeah.
When all those people that know how I was raised, and to do this is such blasphemy, and it's about not carrying on my parents' teachings, and it's just, yeah.
So I think I'm getting it, and I just wanna share what I'm hearing first and tell me if I'm getting this right so far. So what I'm hearing, Rose, is that you know in your heart that you're a witch, and that that is where your power, a big part of your power lies, and that that is where your medicine is, not just for your clients, but for yourself. You know this to be true so deep in your heart. And yet at the same time, what you're noticing is that you're holding yourself back from fully being visible in this thing that is so much a part of who you are, because you're scared about this community of origin and what they might think and how that will impact you and your sense of self. Am I getting all of that right? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And so what is it that you want here?
I feel really that I'm not safe with this. And I feel my child won't be safe, and I feel my grandchildren won't be safe.
Yeah.
And I feel it will continue to erode the fragile family relationships and connections that I do have. If I keep pushing out like this.
Yeah. And when you say that you and your children and grandchildren won't be safe, what does that mean?
Well, it's the culture. You know, my interaction with my culture, and this would be the same for my children and my grandchildren, is within this community. My elders are in this community. The people that have watched over me, the ones that haven't gone, a lot of them have transitioned. But these are the ones that have known me since I was a little child. And of course, I want my daughter to have these relationships.
Mm. So tell me if I'm getting this right. I didn't hear anything actually about safety and what you just said. I heard some things about maintaining relationships, but not about imminent danger. I could be wrong, but tell me how that lands.
Well, you know what it's like in communities, the gossip, the, you know, the two-facedness, I feel like with my daughter, I've been defending her from all these things, knowing how they've impacted me, but to then go and stimulate more of these possibilities about what is going to be said and when that gets to my child. It's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I feel that. And I feel your fierce mama bear in all of this. If there was a learning opportunity for your daughter here, what would it be?
There's something about, like, this is the ultimate, this is one of those ultimate moments where it's for me to walk my talk and talk my walk in front of my daughter, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oof, I just got chills when you said that.
Yeah. Like, this is a big one, isn't it? Because I've always said to her, I've always had to negotiate my difference.
Yes.
And I've had to do it closely and very clearly in the permission to be self.
Yes.
Even in this huge pressure of everyone else that you love and that you share a cultural relationship with is not showing up this way.
Yes. So what is the legacy that you want to leave to your children and grandchildren when it comes to owning your power and being yourself?
Well, ultimately, I want my daughter to have her voice, and I want her to be able to teach her children.
Will she be able to have her voice and teach her children? I don't see that the community is keeping her safe. I think you're trying to keep her safe. Will she be able to have her voice if you continue to keep her safe in these ways?
I feel like I don't know. I can see where if I don't push, one of the most valuable things to me is the authenticity I have with my daughter. That's one of the most valuable things for me. It's not been easy. And okay, do I feel so little about myself that, and what I've created and the relationship I have with my daughter, to feel that she could be unrooted in, or it could impact our relationship if I just continue to keep showing up? I don't know.
What do you know?
I know that for sure my work is about every woman's voice. I know that we have to heal together. I know that we are an immense solution on this planet.
Yeah.
And I'm working so small to such a tiny demographic, but I have a powerful desire to hear as many voices as I can. And I'm called into that. I know that I'm called into that.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to hold space for the voices that have never spoken. How am I going to do that if I don't push this envelope right now?
Take a moment and close your eyes. Where is that wisdom coming from? Where do you feel that in your body, Rose? Because it feels so big.
Yeah, that's really in my womb and in my heart connection.
Yes, continue to connect there. What does your womb and your heart connection want you to know about your daughter and her resilience?
She's strong enough.
Yeah.
And also, she has her own mind. I've helped with that. She has her own mind. I can't undervalue that.
No. Tell me if you agree with this. As you just said that, what moved through me is that's actually one of the biggest you know, the most safety you can give her, way more than what you're doing right now with the protection.
So there's this thing coming through about our generations. And how we all have to speak for our children, and we have to hold that up, don't we? Mm. We have to hold that up, and we have to hold it up in such a way now that our children are passing it on. Mm. So my daughter's voice is going to be a voice in the generation, so she will do the same work. So if I don't push this now, I feel so called into doing it. It's almost like, I'm almost like, excuse my French, FM. I'm almost like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's not as clean as I'd like it to be. I think that's where my womb is getting activated. Mm-hmm. It needs to be more cleaner with me. This is not about what I remember, how it was for me as a child. It's not about that anymore. It's about what's in front of me, isn't it?
Ah. So what is it that your adult self wants your child self to know here?
That I've got this?
Yeah.
I've got this. It's really interesting. I was away. I've been away for the past 10 days in my break. Mm-hmm. And I did some inner child work. I'm so glad that I'm remembering this. I did some inner child work, and my inner child said to me, "You're the one that's the problem now."
Mm-hmm.
Holy ghost, as my mother would say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm remembering that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm remembering that now. I thank you for the words that the fear is just the fear and nothing more than that.
Yeah.
It's just part of how we work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not saying anything else to me other than that, isn't it?
It just is that. That's right. We make stories, right? So along those lines, let's just take that a step deeper. Rose, if you do what I know you are going to do, which is allow yourself to be visible, and I feel it. Let's say that the community cuts you and your children off, right? Like worst case scenario. Let's just go there for a moment. Let's say, why is it going to be okay anyway?
Several things. First of all, I have been welcomed into other communities like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, I can make my own community.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
isn't it?
You definitely can.
There's this thing here about what Shamit was saying,
mm-hmm.
about supporting those that are with you.
Yes.
Leaning into those that are with you,
yes.
rather than spending your energy on going after what you think you should be attaining,
yes.
that may not be available for you.
Yes.
There's something here about that.
Yes. So we have just a couple more minutes based on all of that we've been looking at, all the work that we've been doing. What are your next steps?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have been feeling that where I need to begin, and I've started a conversation with one of my older brothers. I mean, they don't know what I do. I think I should just let them know. I feel like I'm there. I know I'm there with one of my brothers.
Yeah.
I have four older siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my eldest sister, she's the pill.
There's always got to be one of those.
Yeah, she's the pill because she's so entrenched in the old belief and the old way. Yeah. But see, I do actually value that about her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's coming through right now, actually. So maybe there's a different way for me to do it. But my step is I need to come out to my family.
Yes. And what is the energy that you want to come out with? Who do you want to be?
This one right here, as I'm with all of you, mm-hmm. is this is who I am. This is me authentically. And to be quite honest, I don't want to apologize about it anymore.
Yes. Yeah. So unapologetic, authentic, and loving.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah. And I really want to be kind to my older sister.
Yes. Yes.
Kind. Yeah. I want to be kind to her.
Yes. And honor that she's the one that's holding the old ways, right? She's holding that candle.
Yeah, but she irks me so much.
Yeah. You know?
It's like we have a monthly family call, and it's my big sister's 2 hours. You don't get a word in.
So knowing this about her, in addition to what energy you want to bring to that conversation with her, what is it that you want to remember during that conversation in case she is reactive, right? What is the higher wisdom? Because sometimes we can forget our higher wisdom when, you know, something scary happens or someone reacts to us. What is the wisdom that you want to keep on coming back to as you share with your family, particularly your older sister?
I feel like I just want to accept them, even though we disagree.
Yeah.
We do disagree.
There can be acceptance and love, even when there's disagreement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like if I can just, and I see that for my sister, I do. I feel if I can just accept her, no matter how she takes this, I know why she would take it that way. I do know that, isn't it?
Yeah. It feels like this idea of that disagreement and acceptance can coexist.
Yeah.
Is an important one, not just for you and your sister, but to move forward with everything that we're talking about here today. It feels like a healing. There's a healing in that for you. On different levels.
Yeah. And really for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's for all of us at this time because the nature holds the diversity. It's like one of the things you first said to us. There's enough space for everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
My sister can have it and I can have it.
Yes. Yes, it's not one or the other.
Yeah.
One or the other. It's not black or white. More than one thing can exist in the same space. And what I would just say, because we're about at time, is that that can also hold true for you internally, Rose. You get to take any of the old ways that still work for you.
Yes.
And they can exist powerfully inside of you with the witch that you are. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Thank you. Thank you.
So before we wrap, of course, there's so much more we could look at, but for now, what is it that you're taking from our time together?
Well, for me personally, I'm a multidimensional being. I think women are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, there's more than one truth that can sit next to each other. We all have our pieces. This is what I want to bring to my family. And this is what I want to bring to my community.
Mm, beautiful. It feels like in doing this, not only do you get to be more visible, but you get to do some healing work, you know, not only for yourself, but for your family and community. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing so vulnerably and just bringing all of your beauty and presence. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
So let's break that down. What all of that. Take a moment and jot down for yourselves, what are some skills that you noticed? What are some things that stood out to you, whether it's around energetics, listening, creating awareness, questioning? We haven't gotten yet to strategizing or visioning or, you know, any of the other pieces, but anything that stands out to you. And let's start with this. So what are some things that you noticed? What do you want to pull out?
Hi, I can share. I think that to begin with, the first thing that you did was establish this very clear sense of her feeling heard and validated in what she was sharing, that you got it. And then added in immediate after that, went back to the what is it that you want here, so that you were working to a goal. And that base kind of allowed the rest to really flow in a really cohesive and beautiful way.
Thank you. Yeah, so I want to pull out some things that you just said, Penny. Important. Mm-hmm. So you guys notice I started with what's your intention, right? We always want to start, it doesn't have to be those words, it can be what would you like to receive, what do you want to walk away with, but the intention is so important, right? And did you guys notice Rose shared a lot when I asked that? I reflected back, we'll get to that in a moment, but I actually wasn't still fully clear on what she wanted to receive. So I reflected back and then I asked again, so what is it, right, that you would like to receive here? I don't know if those were the exact words that I used, but I took that time, as Penny was saying, to set that foundation, to set the container, because or else we could have gone in so many different directions. The other thing Penny was saying, if you guys noticed, after that first question, what is it that you want to receive? Rose shared so much and so beautifully. I reflected back to her. I shared what she said, but I deepened it to create deeper awareness of what she already knew, but so that she could own it more, right? So I said, I don't remember the exact words, but I really hear that you are a witch, right? This is your superpower. This is so much of who you are, right? She happened to mention witchcraft, but the purpose in that, as Penny said, was to help her feel seen and heard, but also to create that deeper awareness, which is the ownership of what she already knows mentally. And Rose even knows that more mentally. She feels it in her heart, but to activate that even more deeply, because I knew that that would have to be activated if we were going to do any work around this big fear. Awesome. Thanks.
I had a question about that, because I don't remember Rose ever saying that she was a witch.
She used the term witchcraft, and so I shifted it a little just as I was speaking. My sense is that I could have been wrong, and she could have said, no, I'm not a witch, but because she used the term witchcraft, my sense was that if I directly called her a witch, she would recognize it inside herself and take it in even more deeply. So that was a very conscious decision on my part with
life. I was wondering about that because it was really impactful, it was really powerful, and it was really to the point. But is that because you've been doing this for so long that you feel really confident to just go there?
It's a good question. So I think part of it is, the more you do it, the more confident you feel, and also the more you feel like if I'm going to make a mistake, I'll correct it. You know, it's not the end of the world. If she's like, no, I don't consider myself a witch, I'm not going to take it personally. Like, I messed up the session. I didn't, you know, it's just, we course correct from there. So I think experience has given me that. But I think the other piece, yeah, and the piece with that is like the willingness to lean in to the truth that I hear the client saying that she's ready to own even more deeply and taking a chance with that.
Because for me, priestess, witch, oracle, all these different names have a real wound attached to them.
But that's the other piece, particularly with these. And because I work with so many witches and healers and priestesses, and I am a priestess, I understand the gravity and the context, right? So that's where my filter really joins with Rose's filter. And I understand the importance of naming what is and allowing her to name herself that. Yeah, beautiful, good. Who else? What else did you see? What else did you notice? What do you want to pull out?
I just want to pull out how powerful it was to watch you orchestrate tone and pacing. It was slow. And I think about that for myself, how it's important to just slow it down so things can be revealed. That was beautiful.
I'm glad you're pulling that out. We spoke about that a little bit yesterday too, right? There are moments to go quicker for sure and, you know, slower, but you want to know the moments and don't be scared. That conversation was only 20 minutes between me and Rose, right? Not even a full coaching session, but so much could happen. And it was because I allowed for the space and I didn't try to rush through or get to a solution or, you know, whatever it is. And then the tone too, right? And you don't have to stay monotone, even if it's a deep or serious topic. Like obviously when we were going into the inner, you know, I had a certain softer, deeper tone. But did you guys notice when she mentioned her sister, I kind of like laughed out loud and brought like a little bit purposefully, right? Brought like a little bit of levity there too. She was already going there, but just so she could like see it in not such a grave way too. Beautiful. Thank you for bringing that forward. Who else? Yeah, Gloria.
I loved seeing how you didn't stay in the story with her, because it's, you know, like she had shared a lot of like deep, complex experiences and a summary of what she was going through. And like your questions were so elevated and they were so heightened and they were so big picture. And I think like that's just like so masterful. I loved seeing how that happens. And I mean, I have no idea how you decide like which way to go and like where the questions come from, but it was just so beautiful to see how that kept the session very exploratory and connected to like her values. Essentially, it's what I saw you pull out.
And I think you just answered your own question, Gloria. That's how you know how to ask the questions, right? Keep it exploratory and connected to values. Now, there is a certain point in a coaching session, and this is one of the ways that coaching differs from therapy. There is a certain point where you're going to switch a little bit to strategy and possible solution, right? And I did that with Rose when I asked, okay, so what are your next steps? I forget how I phrased it. You know, what action do you want to take next or whatever it is? But until you get to that point, you do want to, the best questions will come from the curiosity, like we spoke yesterday, like you're saying, keep it exploratory and connected to values. Awesome. Thank you. Who else? What do you want to pull out?
I thought it was a very bold, thing that you said when she was like, I don't feel safe. And you said, tell me more about that. So you first asked, but then you were like, I don't hear anything about imminent danger here. Like that felt like, I can't remember what the terminology that you taught us, whether it was creating awareness, but there's something else like where you're just,
And that felt very potent to me, because that would be a place that I would be afraid to, like, with a client, you know, to say, well, she's saying she doesn't feel safe. I don't want to doubt her saying that she doesn't feel safe, but you needed to do that in order to uncover what was underneath. So that moment really, really stuck out. I think you said, I didn't hear anything about safety. I heard about maintaining relationships, but nothing about imminent danger. And that really, for me, was really a key moment. And again, I don't remember what the terminology, what you would call, I mean, maybe creating awareness, but I feel like there's something else you called it in one of our sessions.
Yes, it is from, you're remembering correctly, it is from creating awareness, and it's reflecting a truth, right? Now, if it were another client, or even if it was Rose, but maybe on a different day where I felt she wasn't as receptive, but because I know Rose and I know that there's deep trust between us and I could feel energetically she was ready for like a zinger, I went direct in for the creating awareness. But I could have easily with a different client, or if it was Rose on a different day and a different energy, done it more the way I shared. I gave different options, remember, in creating awareness to do it. I could have not been as bold and said, let me know if I'm getting this right. My sense is that there isn't imminent danger. This is about blah, blah, blah. You know, how does that land for you? Right. So so that absolutely could have been a pathway in this conversation too, or in another one. And part of it is about reading the energy to know if you can go straight in and if that's going to make more of an impact, versus if the client has defenses around what you're about to say, and it makes more sense to do it in some of the strategies I shared in the reflecting the truth.
But it was interesting because you did say, you said, is that right at the end, but you first gave the truth, and that's a different feeling. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so I will always, even if I go direct in for the zinger, I'm still going to make sure that it resonates for the client, because I could still be wrong with the zinger, right? So that is an important piece. But it's what's the energy, how receptive, and what's going to make the most impact here in terms of the delivery. Good. Kathy, I saw you raise your hand.
Hi. Well, what I noticed at first was when Rose presented what her initial thing was, I heard so many layers in it. You know, I just heard so many layers. And then with your first question, it went deep into like the very bottom. But then I just heard you, and I love this, distilling the fears by just pushing up almost, like, or grabbing up. I don't know how to explain it, but it felt like every time you hit one of those, you just kept affirming and pushing up by holding it in a bigger sphere. I mean, does that make any sense?
It does. And I wish I would have written down more some of the like wording that I used for questions, because I know what you mean, but I can't like recall any of the things. But what I will say is that, and we'll look at this much more when we get to befriend your fear, you want to lean in. As the practitioner, you want to lean in. You always want to lean in. Like, you know, if you're working with a fear, you don't want to be scared of it, and you want to I don't want to say it so much what you're saying, like pull it up and out and be with it. I had no agenda like we need to get rid of this fear by the end of this session, or you know, she needs to feel fully empowered. If I had any of those fears, I wouldn't have been able to lean into them. And so then what it allows me to do is like, let's make friends, right? That's why I call it befriend your fear. We'll get more into it later, but let's just make friends with this fear. Let's see what it's about.
Yeah, it just felt like you were opening the door to new awareness each time you kind of pushed up through a layer. I mean, this is all very subtle, but it's just what I felt. I felt like you were just opening the truth for her in a bigger way so that she could hold it. And that was beautiful, because I felt like at the end she held her own truth, which she was kind of like tentatively presenting.
Yes.
And that was really beautiful. I just love that.
Good. Thank you for pulling that out. I know we have just a few more minutes and I want to make sure we have time for closing, but any other, there's one thing I want to pull out too, but anything else that anyone else wants to pull out?
Yeah, I had something. I was just noticing at the beginning, you know, as you started to ask questions, Rose started to say, I don't know. And it started like the fear felt like it was getting, things were getting confusing. And so you just said, well, what do you know?
Yes.
And it shifted it so much. And then you took it, like made it go into her body and let, like get deeper. And then she seemed so much more rooted in her truth. And then everything else felt easier. And, you know, I just saw Rose, she was just walking right with you and everything was coming out once she had that real clarity about what was real, what she did know.
So I'm glad you're bringing this forward because this relates to what I wanted to pull out. So Jeannie, exactly what you said, like we were getting deeper, it was flowing, and then something happened. We'll get to what the something happened was. And Ruth was like, I don't know. So a good way back is, well, what do you know, right? And to go from there. Now, did you guys catch why she got into the I don't know? I made a little mistake as a practitioner. Anyone catch it? I asked her a yes or no question when it wasn't the right moment for a yes or no question. As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, I just taught them this yesterday. I shouldn't have done that. This is not, we're gonna, but it'll be good because I'll show them how to move out of it, right? Because you can always course correct. And I wish I would have written down the exact words that I asked, but it started off, it was about your daughter, Rose. And I said, will she be able to something, right? Instead of making it an open-ended. And that bumped into the fear with that yes or no in a way that caused confusion. So it was a good illustration of why there are only very particular moments for yes or no questions. And also hopefully a good illustration of how there's always a save. I don't even want to call it a save because that even makes it too dramatic and awe sounding, but there's always a way through.
You said, will she be able to keep her voice if you continue to keep her safe in these ways?
Yeah. So I could have asked a better question there. For sure. And even just like the how, thank you, Penny. And maybe just the how can instead of the can share, you know, whatever it is, or probably there was even a better question there. That wasn't my favorite question ever. So, and by the way, there are going to be tons of times where you don't ask, there isn't one best question that it won't result in the I don't know. It'll have a great result, right? But this was perfectly orchestrated, I think. Okay, good. So if there are more things that you guys want to pull out, please share them in the Facebook group. I know we just have a minute or two left, but I did want to end with two things. So one is just based on the work that we did today, particularly the work before the demo, but it might have come through the coaching demo. What's one action step that you want to take to move yourself forward? What's one action step that you want to take this week? And I'll start a thread in our Facebook group on action steps, and I'd really love for each of you to share. And then last piece before we wrap for today, just take a moment and jot down what are you taking away from our time? And if you can hang on for an extra 2 minutes, if you can, I would love to hear one or two takeaways. What are you taking away for yourself from our call today?
Just the power of leaning in and going into what I would be afraid to as a coach, like seeing how clearly that brings out the depth and power of what, like the transformation. So,
yeah. And I want to really, not that you need my permission, Alana, but I want to just give you permission to be more bold because your instincts are so right on. I really think you are ready to be more bold in your work with your clients. You already are, I know you already are, but next level.
Good. Who else? I'd love to hear.
I wanted to say that I think that, again, I'm just, the power of questions is so beautiful for helping the client find their own voice and go deeper. But that even more, almost that place where you say you made the mistake and got into the I don't know, that you can not only recover from that, but actually that was a place where things went really deep.
Yeah.
So it's also just the compassion and forgiveness and being able to risk everything, because you can correct. And it's not like it's just, you know, one be all end all getting it perfect. So it was just like permission to do that and to see what beauty comes out of it in depth. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you use the word compassion. It's so important, right? We have to have compassion for ourselves as practitioners, just like we have compassion for our clients all the time. Thank you. Any last shares before we wrap?
Someone said something about slowing down and going deeper. And I think that's why I get misunderstood. And my big takeaway today is just slowing down.
Yeah. I'm so glad you came to that. I love the beauty of how that goes through. Awesome. Can't wait to see what comes of that.
Would this recording be available?
Yeah, you'll get it in your member center, so you can go back to it whenever you want. I want to honor time. I'd love to hear more takeaways, but please share them in the Facebook group. And just thank you, each of you, for showing up and your participation. And just all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're so dear to me, and it's such an honor for me to do this work with you. Have a wonderful.
I really love being able to see everyone. Yeah. It's amazing.
Thank you. You're welcome. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you,
Joanna.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for sharing those.